You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 1 July. Welcome to the GNU Dawn. It is big. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Chantal Marks, FNB Wealth and Investments. We're going to pick her brains for some preferred GNU stocks as their president has announced his cabinet. We've got Phil Roux, CEO of Nampak, on results. The turnaround is gathering pace. Certainly there's some funnies in the numbers, but the bottom line is turnaround is happening. And then Keith McLachlan, CIO, Integral Asset Management. He has a local small cap AMC, so I'm going to pick his preferred small cap stocks as well from SA Inc. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb: SA close to 100 days of no load shedding and 800 megawatts of new capacity officially added to the grid as Kusile Unit 5 exits its test phase. Business Day: Moody's upgrade City of Cape Town's credit rating. Credit rating agency applauds City's progress in improving revenue collection. Morning markets: the US was red, S&P down 0.4 and Nasdaq off 0.5%. In the east, it is mostly green, but Sydney literally a couple of points higher, Tokyo 0.25%, and Hong Kong 3 points higher, while 10-cent trades half a percent down. Commodities mixed. The green is gold, 2,336. Brent is down at 85.47. Platinum is down at 1,007. And palladium is green at 981. Rand, 1,808. Bitcoin, 63,300. And top 40 opening call, 605 points, 0.8% to the upside.
MoneyWeb Now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Tony now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, always appreciate the early morning times. We have our cabinet, truthfully, I mean, about 30-odd days after the election, which isn't too shabby. I remind people, Belgium once took 551 days to get a government. And the political commentators will have their say on it. But you spend your days looking at stocks. Bunches of these are going to be local SA Inc. stocks. What are some of your sort of top picks for a GNU cabinet and the sort of, I suppose, bullishness, positivity that is sort of moving through our economy and our country? Early days, but nonetheless, it's there.
Yes, absolutely. Early days. I mean, I would start by saying that there were some key points that stood out to me. The first thing is stability in the finance ministry. Yeah. So that means fiscal continuity. That's really good. Stability in the presidency, which means mm-hmm. that Operation Vulindlela will probably continue as it has. And it has so far delivered some really solid reforms, even though we haven't really seen that filtering into the real economy. And then one thing that I was also thinking about last night as I was listening to this announcement is competition is good in an economy, right? But I think it's also good in cabinet. So I do think that everyone will want to start leaving their mark. And fruitful government expenditure could be really stimulatory. So on that note, I was thinking that infrastructure investment is going to be absolutely pivotal. And we could start seeing some really solid increases in fixed capital expenditure, both by government and by businesses. Mm-hmm. So topics, first one, construction materials. I think Afrimat bought Lafarge at exactly the right time.
Yeah.
So Afrimat would be my first pick there. And then obviously you're going to use those materials to build stuff. So construction, that pick for me is Raubex. And then you need stuff, engineering materials and stuff to build, upgrade and expand. So Roynet stands out there for me. Someone needs to finance it, especially if it comes from business. So the SA banks, and someone needs to insure it. So in that case, Sanlam and Mutual will be my picks there.
I like your logic then, the way you've gone through it. Now, particularly, I want to go back to Afrimat, because I agree with you. And that Lafarge, I mean, Andries van Heerden is a deal maker of note. And I think this time he, to your point, I mean, we can credit him with some luck, but whatever. He's done it and he will make it work. But if we look at the last set of results, his construction materials was up 100% year on year. Yes, a lowish base. But when I chatted with him, he said, you know what? We're seeing some spending on the roads. We're seeing some spending on the rail already. There was already a little bit of green shoots coming through in that space, and this is just going to put it on steroids.
Yes, absolutely. I think that one of the positive things about Afrimat is that they are quite well diversified. So they have a base materials business. Obviously, mm-hmm. that adds a little bit of cyclicality, but it's really countered some softness in construction materials over the last decade or even more. But I do think that once construction materials starts pumping, they actually have the capacity to ramp up their output in that space quite substantially. And now with the addition of Lafarge, I do think that they will be one of the key beneficiaries if we start building and start building aggressively in this country.
But I like that. You've got to build it, you've got to fund it, and then you have to insure it. We'll leave it there. Chantal Marx, Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investments. As always, appreciate the early morning time.
There's no postponing the inevitable. Your money knew this day would come. And you know what? It can hardly wait to start giving some back to you. When you invest in StanLib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. StanLib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Taking the full roof, CEO of Nampak. We had results for 6 months ending March. It saw revenue up 7%. The earnings per share, let's round it to 52 Rand, and that's versus a loss of 310 previously. Phil, I'm not sure you would necessarily say mission accomplished. That's a bit of a bold statement, maybe. What are undoubtedly tough trading conditions, continuing operations looking very much better positioned and performing well in these tough conditions?
Firstly, it wasn't really a reflection of a six-month result, which is what we de facto presented today. Mm-hmm. It was more an outcome of an incredible organizational effort over the past 15 months. You know, the company was incredibly distressed, as you know. It required urgent intervention. It was awfully debt-strapped, so we had to get to work on a broad front, managing multiple work streams concurrently. And today is kind of the first outcome of that effort.
And to the point being, I mean, there's still, I imagine, some road to travel. You've still got some discontinued operations that need to be finalized. But you point in the right direction and operations a bit. I mean, for example, Metals Group, you've got your operating margin up there at 12.5%, which is a much better and much chunkier margin than what you've seen before.
It goes to the heart of what we have been attempted to, what we've been trying to achieve. In what the market saw today, because we gave a lot more granularity to our numbers than previously, is that this is the end state that the organization will emerge from in respect to the transformation agenda. So a focused metals group business, and as you could see from the presentation, two high-ticket items being Nigeria and the liquid cartons ones to be approved by the competition authorities.
Yeah. Also, Bevcan SA, yeah, you're actually making some capacity expansion. I mean, you're actually seeing opportunity there and expanding your capacity.
In fact, we were somewhat flat-footed. That capacity should have been installed earlier. Mm-hmm. But I guess when you have to make capital allocation choices with an incumbent balance sheet, it's quite tricky. But we took a deep breath and went ahead with the CapEx 13 months ago, knowing that there's significant pack format growth in 500 ml energy drinks, beer. So being the leader of canned goods in South Africa, it would be insane not to install that requisite capacity given the grants available, to the extent that customers are actually booking in capacity against the newly installed line.
Absolutely. And you mentioned balance sheet. They're looking a whole lot better. The rights issue, of course, helped a whole lot. You've still got some debt. You've got 2.7 billion due March 2026. You're comfortable with where the balance sheet is sitting at this point in time?
We'll be comfortable from a sustainable point of view if we have a debt EBITDA of 2 to 2.5 times.
Mm-hmm.
that, of course, dependent on the final consummation of those two transactions. Should that not transpire, or one of them should not transpire for whatever reason, then you'll still have adequate capacity on the balance sheet. And the businesses are generating free cash flow the way we're managing them now. So that'll more than augment.
Angola is one of the African operations that you're keeping into the rest of the continent. How did that perform in what I imagine are equally tough conditions for consumers on the ground?
It performed very well. And in the comparative period, we had difficulties with one of our customers. That relationship's been restored. It was really just a payment issue. So the business actually performed incredibly well. They're two major customers, and we're the only Canna in Angola. And it, in fact, has a higher margin than our South African operations.
Is Angola able to export into some of the surrounding countries as well?
Yes, indeed, to the DRC. So what happens, customers in Angola, operations, they export. But one of the largest customers has, in fact, installed filling capacity in the DRC, and it's too onerous to import cans. So our cans will be road transported to the DRC to aid and abet that investment.
A last question. Impairment was down 13 million, down from 793 million. Have you pretty much impaired all that you need to in the last 15 months or so?
Yes, we've impaired Nigeria, which is the big one, to the recoverable amounts that will exist at the end of the period. I think it's a sum of circa 335 million.
We'll leave it there. It's Phil Roux, CEO of Nampak. Appreciate the time today.
Your money can do more when it's investing with conviction. Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to in-depth, broad market research and high-return investment strategies. So invest in a select set of companies with long-term structural growth potential with StanLib's Global Growth Fund. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Keith McLachlan, CIO, Integral Asset Management. Keith, appreciate the early morning time. You and I have chatted before about your offshore small cap actively managed certificate, AMC. Today we're going to chat around your local one. You've got a sort of a small cap SA Inc, I suppose. I'm looking at the chart. 2024, it was kind of going sideways. Last 2 weeks it did, but jump. It jumped some 3-odd%. That obviously when the president got voted in. We have now got a GNU. I want to get some of your preferred stocks here, but before we do, Wayne McCurry made a great point to me when sort of local stocks were moving. He's saying, you know what, it's not that it's the enthusiasm. It is, but the key point are our market is cheap, and I imagine when we dig down into the smaller stocks on the JSE, the market is probably even multiples cheaper.
Absolutely, Simon. So just for the listeners, because you didn't mention the AMC's name, it's the Unum Small Mid-Cap SA Equity Portfolio. Share codes UUSMC. And it is 100% a small mid-cap AMC. At least 80% invested there, 100% invested on the JSE. The aim is to hold 20 to 30 stocks in it. But circling back around to the point, the small cap market is immensely cheap in South Africa, much like the rest of the equity market. But something worth thinking about is small caps tend not to be globally diversified. They tend to be regional, and therefore they tend to list on their local exchanges. So if there is remotely any whiff of positive South African sentiment from this GNU, and it does look like a reasonably positive outcome, small caps on the JSE stand to benefit. The low valuations have been justified in the absence of growth, where you've just been grinding out survival-like results against, zero top-line growth, likely, and inflationary pressures and increasing regulatory pressures and the like. Bit of growth, and what you'll start to find is huge operating leverage in this sector, coupled with low valuation, so you get positive earnings growth with low ratings, they can re-rate higher. And that's a really, really wonderful investment story.
And in a conversation that I've had with many folks, yourself included, is that these smaller stocks have been doing well in an environment which is not conducive to doing well. You mentioned zero growth. We've got zero power at points. Now, suddenly we're almost at 100 days of no load shedding. It has been a really, really tough, and I was going to say a couple of years. I mean, I don't know how long it's been tough, forever in a day, I suppose. But it really has been tough, and they've shown their mettle in those very, very tough times, which is exactly what you want from management, those who can sort of make it work when it's not easy.
Certainly. As an investment house, we like to describe our investment methodology as having a quality bias. Mm-hmm. We're valuation conscious, and we prefer cheap over expensive, and we consider growth to be a quality metric. But at some point, so just purely having survived the last decade in South Africa kind of proves that you're likely a good management team with a good business model. And there's always exceptions to it, but you get survivorship bias that's sitting in this index, meaning the good ones have survived. And in some instances, the good ones have delisted, but that's another conversation.
Sure, sure.
But certainly, these are, generally speaking, this market has contracted materially and there's really good businesses left, yeah.
So and then I had Chantal Marx a moment ago. She liked the idea of build, fund, insure. You've got, as you said, you wish to hold around 20 or 30 stocks in there. Which are some of your top picks? And I know it's kind of like asking you to pick your favorite child, but what are some of your top picks that are sitting in your AMC?
Sure. So sitting in the top 10, we've got Grindrod on 9x multiple. We've got Momentum Metropolitan, which arguably isn't a small cap, but it's the smallest of the life insurers, still a 40% discount to EV, 5% dividend yield. You know, you've got Omnia, Spur, Advitec, Kudeko, all of these fantastic stocks, fantastic businesses, well-run, immensely cheap. But I would say, and leaning into the conversation that we're having about SA Inc., Afrimat stands out. And Afrimat sitting, I think it's the second largest holding in this AMC, 12x multiple. Sure, it's got the export iron ore part and the like, but everyone forgets that its origins are really in the building materials and aggregate space, and it's just bought Lafarge, and that is a big deal. That comes with some fantastic turnaround upside. They paid absolutely bottom of the cycle, bottom of everything price to get the business, and it comes with a very large assessed loss, a tax loss that means they won't be paying tax there for a while. The timing is just amazingly fortuitous, because any country that turns around, especially one that's seen such low investment in itself over such an extended period, has to invest in construction. And that flows through into cement and Lafarge and the aggregate side. So Afrimat, great management team as well. So it ticks our quality box, ticks our cheap box, and any turnaround in South Africa has to involve them.
And I quickly want to touch on Spur, because there's another stock which, if memory serves, they've got zero debt on their balance sheet at the moment. They've got net cash, relatively new management who've been doing incredibly well. And it comes back to, you know, let's go forward a year when interest rates are a little bit lower, inflation's come back down, and folks are out there and having some dinners again. The fact that they managed to do so well during the tough times really says that slight improvement and they are incredibly well positioned.
Definitely, a fantastic stock. And you look at QSR multiples abroad, Spur could easily trade double, triple its current multiple, and probably still be considered fairly valued by international investors. But what we really need is we need a growing consumer environment, and the consumer's been under pressure. So, you know, if the GNU SA Inc. story takes hold and we see positive sentiment translate into positive fundamentals, you've got to back the consumer in South Africa from the troughs here, and Spur stands to benefit directly, especially as more people eat out more often, have more money. They're perfectly positioned for that.
A quick last one. You said double or triple from there, which sounds, some of my listeners are like, that's absolutely crazy. But if everything goes well over the duration of this GNU, which is 5 years, I mean, those sort of returns from small caps are, I mean, we've seen it before. It's not unrealistic. It sounds crazy, but this is what they do.
Definitely. So One, you want growing earnings.
Mm.
But as an investment, there's also the potential to re-rate here.
Yeah.
So you're starting on a low multiple. Earnings in the next couple of years can grow for a business in SA Inc., where there's positive SA Inc. story translates into positive action. But then the market starts paying a higher multiple for those growing earnings. And you get this absolutely compound return that's both from growth in earnings and growth in multiple willing to be paid on those earnings. So there's a significant amount of pent-up upside here. How it plays out, we'll see. But there's definitely a good starting point.
It'll probably be rocky and volatile because that's what markets do best. But I take your point. You get that sort of compound, that leverage effect. Keith McLachlan, CIO, Integral Asset Management. Appreciate the early morning. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Chatting with Keith, chatting with Chantal. Are you bullish SA Inc.? Have your vote, have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. We're chatting with Mia Krechler on Friday around GrowthPoint, the trading update. Improving, but still tough. We asked if you were buying local REITs. Over half said yes, great value and yields. Third said no, there are better options out there on the market. The rest were saying you prefer offshore. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow, buying at all-time highs.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.